Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Office Hours with Dr. John Kelly. My name is John Kelly. I'm a school psychologist by training. If you've attended any of my previous office hours, you know that these are conversations about big ideas in education, big ideas in mental health. And I'm excited about this series that we just kicked off last month. This series is really about multi-tiered systems of support and how we really address the needs of students, particularly the social, emotional, the mental health needs of students through a multi-tiered systems of support type of framework. I hopefully gave you a really good overview and kind of whet your appetite for more information. But I'm really excited for today's conversation with a good friend of mine. I'll tell you a little bit more about Dr. Kelly Valancourt-Strobach in just a moment. But we're going to talk about some of those advocacy strategies because I know that we could talk and talk and talk about good ideas, but unless we have ways to advocate for them, fund them, and truly implement them, then a lot of that talk, really goes nowhere. So that's what today is going to be all about. But let me bring in my co-host and co-moderator, Jeremy Glauser. Founder and CEO of eLUMA. So, Jeremy, it's good to see you. Welcome back. You're muted, Jeremy, just so you know.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's the common issue here. Don't we experience that too often? But John and Kelly, it's so good to be back. And if y'all haven't gone and watched the previous webinar to kick off this series, please go do so. It's such a pleasure to be part of this. Let me tell you what to expect today. Kelly, if you can advance us two slides, please. We're going to do some introduction. We'll spend a few minutes there. Kelly has prepared quite a bit of good information. And after we talk through, or Kelly talks through that with us, we'll launch into a Q&A and having a conversation. So, two very important things for you to keep in mind today as you participate. Down at the bottom, there is a chat icon. Click on that and have that chat icon available for you so that you can ask questions and make comments. We want you to be part of the conversation today. The other thing is closed captioning. I know that George, who's helping us keep tabs on the chat, is going to post some updates there. At the bottom of Zoom, there are closed captioning options if you do need those. So find the button that says CC for closed captioning to activate that on your own computer for your own needs. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to John to talk through this a little bit in more detail.
So this is an exciting series that we have, as I mentioned, Kelly Valancourt-Strobach with us today. But the intention is to bring to you national experts on multi-tiered systems of support and the provision of social emotional learning, the provision of mental health supports within the schools. I have coming up a very good friend of mine, Shauna Rader Kelly, no relationship to me, but she is a good friend. Maurice Elias is coming up in November, and Paula Morrison in December, talking about teletherapy and bringing teletherapy services to your school. So we do hope that you'll join us for the entire series on a monthly basis. But today, Kel, if we can go to the next slide,
Yeah,
can
we
I tell you
really.
just a little bit about eLUMA? And again, Jeremy is the best person to talk about that.
Yeah, I do love this partnership that we have to put on this great content. So please go there to eluma.com/webinars. And George, if you could just put the link in the chat so that people can click on it, I think that would be beneficial to the group here today. eLUMA is dedicating a lot of our time and energies to partnering with great people like John and Kelly today to share important information, updates, keep you informed. eLUMA is really focused on helping students achieve their potential, and we are focused on connecting really good providers, therapists, school psychologists, and others with school systems through technology. So most of the providers that we work with are delivering services remotely and through video conferencing. We also develop technology that school districts can license for their own providers and for their own systems. We have been around for almost, well, we just hit 11 years, And we are serving just past 33,000 students in 36 states. We would encourage you to follow us on Twitter, our Facebook, those are our handles. Come join the conversation and influence what topics and conversations that we promote out here in the community. And I do want to make you aware of, Kelly, if you can go to the next slide, I want to make you aware of an opportunity to come and participate in a mental health consultation and get $50 donated to the National Alliance on Mental Health Illness, or Mental Illness, excuse me. So we really want to support this initiative. You can also support this initiative. Go to that link. Again, George, if you could put that in the chat, I think it would be helpful for people to click on. And we will happily donate $50 to this alliance to promote mental wellness in this country. And with that, we're going to introduce Kelly, and no better person than John to do so.
I appreciate that. You know, Jeremy, you mentioned the partnerships that we are developing. And, you know, one of the things that I love is that eLUMA is open to really supporting the education community, supporting the mental health community with these types of webinars. But it doesn't surprise me that you're partnering with NAMI as well. So thank you for those partnerships. But without further ado, I do want to introduce my good friend, Dr. Kelly Valancourt-Strobach. You know, you could read Kelly's bio. I'm not going to read Kelly's bio for you, but it is important for you to know that you know, Kelly is trained as a school psychologist. But not only being an amazing school psychologist, Kelly is an amazing advocate for children. I can't even say just for school psychology or just for education. Kelly, you are an advocate for children and families. She is the director of public policy and advocacy for the National Association of School Psychologists. But even that title doesn't give you true insight into what Kelly does. She is at the leading edge of some of the current legislation, past legislation that has benefited us in the schools. And no more recently than the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, Kelly had a big hand in writing that piece of legislation, helping you know, our Congress write that. She was at the White House for the signing of that. So she is truly an expert on advocacy and working with schools to make sure that we're meeting kids' needs. So without further ado, let me turn it over to Dr. Kelly Valancourt-Strobach. And you're muted as well, Kel.
You know, you would think, how many years have we been in this weird virtual hybrid space and we can't remember to unmute? Thank you for that very kind introduction. And I have to say, I learned from some of the best. John Kelly and we have worked together for a very long time with doing advocacy work. And I am very, very fortunate that I am paid to do something that I love. And I hope every one of you is as fortunate to not consider your job work, that it's actually something that you very much enjoy doing. And that is what we're going to talk about today. I apologize in advance that I'm going to throw what feels like a lot of information in a very short amount of time, but I assure you, I am keeping notes of a lot of resources that I'm going to share to be housed on the eLUMA website in conjunction with this webinar recording so that you can go back and reference things. Because I think these are conversations that we could spend hours talking about and we're gonna be here for, you know, for less than an hour. But, you know, the big ideas that we're gonna cover today, and I'm not gonna exactly read these, but there's a lot of opportunity right now. And it's incredibly important that we are all advocating, not just with Congress, but also with our state departments of education, with our school boards, with our principals, with the teachers and families that we work with. There is a wealth of evidence-based resources and models that are out there. And it just takes us engaging in some action, ongoing and sustained advocacy action, to make sure that we all reach our goal, and which is, you know, in my opinion, that every school is resourced with the proper professionals and resources that they need to ensure equitable access to comprehensive school mental and behavioral health services. And it takes every single one of us to do that work. And so I'm glad that, you know, if you are here, that means you have an interest in this and that you are ready to kind of put the work forth in making this happen. So I know that Dr. Kelly in his last session went over this a little bit, but I want to just kind of frame us again when in given you yet another graphic. Again, there's a lot of models. As John mentioned, I'm a school psychologist. I'm pretty partial to some of the resources that NASP puts out. But this is one model of mental and behavioral health services. And I put this up because I think it's really important that we understand what we're talking about, because when we go to policymakers, they are often not educators in the way that we are. They may have, you know, a theoretical or 30,000 foot understanding of what they think they mean when we talk about school mental and behavioral health. But for you, when you are going to try to make the case for what this really is, we need to have an understanding of that. And so this graphic really shows, you know, when we're talking about mental and behavioral health, it is services that we provide to everyone. So quite often, and again, I think we're making tremendous gains in this space, but over, you know, I'd say prior to maybe 10 years ago, you talked about school mental health and people immediately just assumed these are services we provide to our students in special education. These are students that we provide to our kids, you know, who are in significant crisis. And that is true, but that is not all that school mental and behavioral health services are. So it is a full continuum. You know, I'm not going to go into great detail, but I encourage you to kind of familiarize yourself with some of this, but it includes this core curriculum. So if we're going to try to compare this to what you might know as RTI, we want to make sure we're providing kids with high quality evidence-based academic instruction in reading and math and science and everything. We want to do the same thing in terms of social, emotional, and mental and behavioral wellness. So that is, are we infusing SEL into all of our classrooms? Are we implementing initiatives to create a positive school climate? Providing psychoeducation, or what you may know as mental health first aid, to teachers and families and community members to help them understand what is, how to differentiate kind of between this is a kid having a bad day, or for those of you that work in middle and high schools, what is atypical behavior, not what we might fully expect from teenagers, where mood swings are just part of life, but how to understand, ooh, this might be a kid that really does need some help, and then help them understand how to navigate the system, how to make a referral, who to go to in the school or the community to get those services. And then key to all of this, in the same way that when we're talking about academics, and it's the beginning of the school year, my son is getting ready to have some of his, you know, academic screenings to help determine, you know, where his reading skills are, where his math skills are, so they can pair appropriate interventions. We need to do that with social and emotional skills as well. The goal, again, it's not to pathologize students. It's not to stigmatize them. It's not to, you know, diagnose them, but it is to facilitate early intervention, because we all know that that is what works. But it is really important from an advocacy perspective that we understand that comprehensive school mental and behavioral health is all of this. It is not just meeting those kids in crisis. That's important, and we want to keep doing that, but it includes all of these things. It's tier one, tier two, and tier three, not just, you know, what we typically think of as tier three services. Oops. Now, unfortunately, although, again, we have made, I think, tremendous gains. And again, I'm going to walk through some of the current advocacy opportunities that we have as a result, in large part because of COVID-19. There is a greater understanding of why we need to pay attention to kids' mental and behavioral health and why schools need to be a part of that. But unfortunately, some of you, when you start to have some of these conversations with policymakers, be that your principal, your superintendent, your school board, some people still don't fully understand the role that schools play. And again, this is not, you know, when we're talking about school mental health, we're not transforming the purpose of schools away from institutions of learning. We are saying that school mental health supports the mission of schools, which is to help kids learn. And there is a wealth of research out there that I would encourage you to become somewhat familiar with, and that providing mental health services to kids increases their academic achievement and their life outcomes. And conversely, if we let those go unaddressed, those students are going to have poorer outcomes. They are going to be more likely to engage in risky behaviors, be involved in the juvenile justice system, all of these things that we as educators want to prevent from happening. So there is a key role for mental health when it comes to student learning. But I think importantly, when we're talking about why we do this in schools, is there's so much data now. I mean, if you look at over the last 20 years, there's been consistent data that the prevalence and the incidence of mental health among children and youth has been steadily rising. I believe our rates of suicidality among kids under 21 is the highest it's been in two decades. But most recently, there's been some data now that shows that, you know, by the seventh grade, so by the time kids are entering middle school, 40% of them will have experienced a mental health issue that has in some way impacted their functioning. And every year, you know, we're looking at one in five kids meets the clinical criteria for a mental health disorder. And so to put this in the perspective of the classroom, there are 25 students in my son's class. Half of those, so, you know, maybe 12 by the time they reach middle school will have experienced depression or anxiety. Five of them are potentially going to have a mental health disorder. Schools play a role in this, in part because the sad reality is that the vast majority of students who need mental and behavioral health services do not get them. There are shortages of, you know, there are workforce shortages. In some places, there are just no child and adolescent psychiatrists. There's, you know, there are no clinicians in certain communities that are able to meet the needs of these kids. But of those kids that do, the vast majority of them get them at school. There's a lot of data that shows kids and families, quite honestly, are more likely to ask for help when they know it's available at school. All kids come through schools. It is a great place to connect them with services. And so while we want to be sure that these services are offered at school, there's also a key role that the school psychologist or school counselor or school social worker, they can help connect families with additional resources that they might need in the community. We hear time and time again how confusing and complex and overwhelming it can be to families to try to figure out how to navigate the mental health system, where to even go for help. And these professionals have key connections to the community. They know what services are available. They know which providers likely specialize in the specific issues that a kid might be facing and can really work with those families to reduce those barriers to getting care and hopefully, you know, reduce some of that anxiety that comes with trying to figure out how to navigate.